Bob Nisley's director of Project Next Generation. It's the Senior Executives Association. And Kelly Cage is director of mentoring and fellowships at Young Government Leaders, here to talk about Project Next Generation. Bob, I'll start with you since you're the director of this. What's the mission of Project Next Generation, and what was it about the interaction between young people in government and more experienced people in government that caused the SEA to want to get involved with something like this in the first place? Thanks for joining me today.
We at SEA recognize that we have, by definition, a lot of experience in government. And irrespective of how fast people are coming in or going out of government, and the fact that political appointees come and go fairly rapidly. I think the last number I knew was 18 months on average for political. So the body of knowledge, the residual body of knowledge about how government works, resides with the senior core of executives. And the Senior Executives Association is comprised of people who are at the level of general and admiral in the military services. And we need to be passing as much of that information on to the next generation as possible. Continuity of government is not just a term used with emergencies. Mm-hmm. Continuity of government is important throughout.
We talked before we went on the air about your government experience. As you approached the end of your tenure in government, at that time, what kind of knowledge transfer structure existed, if any, and how well, in hindsight, do you think it worked for you to be able to share what you knew, not just with people in your agency, in your organization that were coming up behind you, not just with the person who was going to take your job, but more broadly with people who now would be members of YGL?
I don't remember any structure. I retired 15 years ago, and I think there are people who would say that I did an adequate job at sponsoring or individuals that I had picked out and encourage their careers and try to get them to avoid making the mistakes that I made. Let them make their own mistakes, I always said. But I don't remember any formal structure at that time. Certainly, I was not engaged in one.
Kelly, thank you for joining us today, too. As the Director of Mentoring and Fellowships for YGL, what is your sense of the appetite for the kind of knowledge transfer information that Bob is talking about, not just limited to Project Next Generation? We'll talk more specifically about that in a moment. But what's your sense of the desire among people in your age cohort to understand what's happening a grade or two or three above you to be able to step into those levels of leadership in the future? Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Francis. I think there's definitely a strong desire amongst members of my generation to want to know what's ahead. They're very concerned about foresight. I see that you're here. How do I get here? And I think that that's what mentoring does. And I'm so excited to be able to direct this program this year, because I think it's such a great need for it, even within our organizations. There's a great need for mentoring and the transference of information.
What are the surprises that the people that you talk to through YGL express to you about interacting with people who are more senior in government?
Some of the surprises is that it's not that they, I guess one of the major things is that they don't want to keep all the information for themselves. They want to share the information. They want to give you the resources and the knowledge that they have so that they can transfer that information and kind of head out comfortably knowing that the job will still get done.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk specifically about Project Next Generation. The notes that I have say the program's about 6 months in length. What does it consist of? Are there formal interactions between the SEA folks and the YGL folks, or is it a more loosely based structure, Bob?
Well, Project Next Generation encompasses everything that the Senior Executives Association would like to do in terms of mentoring, in terms of helping out the next generation. So there are a few activities now ongoing, primarily what I call Project Seagull, SEA, YGL, sort of misspelled. But I've also done a few other things as well, and we're open to suggestions. We would like to get the membership of the Senior Executives Association as engaged as possible in working with Project Next Generation, with the next generation. The what I call Project Seagull, this relationship between SEA and YGL, this is the third year this has gone on.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my first year, but this is not a new thing for either SEA or YGL.
How did it develop? Where did you start? What were the interactions the first year, and how has it grown in the subsequent years? And what would you like to see it build into?
Well, this is my first year, so I don't know what it was like 2 years ago. What I would like, if I had my druthers, what I would like to do is to enlist more members of the Senior Executives Association in this and other mentoring opportunities. I'm sure Kelly will talk about the ratio of mentors to mentees. Mm-hmm. I picked up 3 mentees in this most recent assignment that we just did several weeks ago. And that will probably work fairly well, although you can make a case that the ideal ratio is 1 mentor to 1 mentee. And we have a lot more enthusiastic applicants from YGL than we have people signing up at SEA at the moment, which is not a surprise. But with your help and with the help of some of the other activities we're doing, then I am hoping that we will enlist more members of SEA to participate in formal and informal ways with mentees across the government.
What do you do specifically in your interactions with the young people? How do you coach them? How do you advise them? What's the ask, I guess?
Well, I would say that the first thing is that you should, if you are working in government, it's true if you're working in any large organization, the number one rule is do what you say you're going to do. Don't promise the moon, but do on time whatever it is you say you're going to do, because then your boss can count on you. Second, I would say that it's very important to show up on time for meetings, preferably a little bit early, because being late always attracts attention. Third is what I call helicoptering, which has nothing to do with helicopter parenting, which is more current now, which is to say, in my case, put yourself in the shoes of your boss's boss and say, what does that person's world look like? And what is it that they're trying to accomplish? What are their challenges? What are their opportunities? Because that's a way to practice being there on the one hand, and also a way to be doing things which will meet with the approval of your boss's boss. Your boss knows you're good. Mm-hmm. He or she would like to promote you, but your boss has got to get that paperwork through your boss's boss.
Kelly, how do you present this in such a way that people understand that this is not just how do I get promoted, but this is how I become a better public servant and how I become a better, more valuable asset to the organization, and the benefit to me comes after all of that stuff happens?
So we market it to our population, the YGL population, as a mentoring program, just as simply put. And we market it as something that will help you not only career-wise, but personal. It's for you to build upon yourself as an individual. And each year we have topped out at over 100 applicants for the program. Young people in government, or folks that are new to government, they are interested and they want and need to have a mentor. And it's very important for them to move forward. They know that they need that kind of guidance and coaching to move forward in their career. So I think the way we did a little bit different this year with regards to marketing the program. This year, we wanted to have a more organic process. So in the previous years, we would get mentee applications, and get mentor bios, and we would kind of go through the information and kind of pair on the back end. This year, we wanted to offer a more organic process where we allowed the mentees and the mentors to meet up ahead of time and kind of engage in a speed mentoring type of session. Mm-hmm. Where they could go and they could meet with multiple different mentors and they could pick their top three. On the other side, the mentors could do the same thing. They could pick their top three. And once we had each of their top three, we would kind of try to pair them as best as we could. But I think that was something that we did just a few weeks ago. But the feedback that we got from both the mentors and the mentees was very good. They enjoyed it. They enjoyed the different process. So I think that's one of the ways that we market it. I made sure to put that out there that we're going for an organic type process. And one of the other things that we added this year was we were going to host different workshops. And the workshops weren't to necessarily provide structure, but more or less to kind of give the mentors and the mentees an additional perk. So you could come and hear from a leading professional in their field about things like analytics, things that you will need to know how to do and what to do if you want to make it to the next level. Mm-hmm. So again, we're just trying to use foresight to kind of say, how can we help our mentees get to the next level? What else can we do? So we wanted to do a little bit more this year.
What do you get out of this? Why do you do this, Bob? Why is this something that you're so passionate about?
Well, the humorous answer for that is, where else do you get young, bright people who will actually listen to you, unlike your children and grandchildren? And the other thing is that I have been an admirer and a participant in the federal government, one or the other, since 1958. I met Jack Kennedy at that time when he was still senator. And I have seen presidents on White House events and so forth, and I had the privilege of being one of the federal civil servants who was taken in to see Al Gore as we started the National Performance Review 20-odd years ago now. And I'm a serious believer in the federal government. It's not something novel, okay? It's part of the development of governance over the course of the centuries. And I did my best to see it done well, and I would like it to be done well for my kids and grandkids and great-grandkids when they happen, so forth and so on. It's very important.
How do you transmit that? How do you pass that down through, not just through this program, but through all the interactions you have with young people in government? And what's your level of confidence that there are enough people who believe the same things that you believe, feel the same way you feel, to be able to keep the work that you did going?
We in the federal government have always attracted very competent people. I don't expect that to change. I was in the federal government for 30 years, and I kept finding good people, kept meeting good people, kept working with people that I admired, both career and political, and it's just a wonderful environment. I'm now 75, so I don't think anybody will invite me back in, and I'm quite happy.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm quite happy in the mornings to hear the traffic reports and being able to turn over and go back to sleep, but I really admire the people that are still there, and I wouldn't trade anything from my career. I enjoyed every minute.
Kelly, how do some of the challenges that we hear about folks in your age cohort impact the importance of a program like this? For example, not likely to stay in government for full careers, as we've heard before, as generations have before. That kind of thing. How does this add value to someone's career, do you think, sufficient that they'll go, you know what, maybe I don't stay at the same agency forever, but this is a career, a line of work that I want to be in for a long period of time?
I definitely think that this program helps because it provides the mentee with insight. And I think that once you know and understand government, I think you'll love it. I started in government as a student intern, and I think I've had the opportunity to bounce around to a couple of different agencies. But the more that I learned, and at each agency I had a different mentor and I was able to learn so much, the more I wanted to stay in government. Yeah, I had friends that were in the private sector that were climbing up the corporate ladder pretty fast. But I think once you understand government and the function of government and why we do what we do in government, I think you'll have a greater understanding and you'll want to stay in government. And I think that that's what we have here. We have a cohort of educated young professionals who have come from Harvard and Princeton and who are lawyers and who want to be in government because they feel like the greatest gift is to be able to give back knowledge. And so they want to learn. And I think the biggest thing is with a program like this is that the knowledge is there and the transference of knowledge is real because you have mentors who are here saying, here, we want to give you this information so you know what to do. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's like, no, you don't have to stay at the same agency. You know, you can move around. But I think it's that love for government is what resonates with so many of the young people that we work with.
Do you have a sense that that folks in your age cohort believe that there is going to be enough room for them to move up? One of the issues that we're starting to see with the idea of lower levels of retirement and attrition than I think people have expected is the potential for folks to get to kind of a mid to upper level and get frustrated because there's not really much room for them to move up.
I think that definitely is a frustrating thing. And I think that a lot of new people to government kind of see that, you know, I'm hitting the top of my career ladder pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. How can I move around? And I think that YGL and SEA through the mentoring program, we kind of try to address that. I'm not going to say that I have the answer to it, but I know that with my own personal situation, it's creating opportunities. And yeah, this may be the end of my career ladder, but I can come up with a new idea or a new concept that may allow them to maybe even create a position for me. I think it's kind of no limit. And I think it's all in how you present your information. And I think that through the program, it kind of gets you to think critically about what does government need. And I think that the young professionals in YGL, they're thinking about what does government need? Yeah, this is already here and it's working, but what can we do to make it work better?
Bob, what do you run into that when you talk to young people that they are maybe frustrated is even too strong a word, concerned or even thinking about the idea of what the upper levels of government look like and what kind of potential exists for them to advance into those upper levels? Or do they have a sense that given enough time, they're going to be able to push through?
Well, what I'm remembering is a few years ago, everybody talked about the baby boomers retiring and leaving enormous gaps at the top. And I don't think that happened. I'd have to look at the statistics because it sounds like what we've gone from is expecting everyone to disappear to not expecting everyone to disappear. But how that compares with the normal attrition rate is sort of beyond the scope of, the headline-grabbing sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And my guess is that most people realize that they, you know, you have to put in some time. Now, as Kelly said, there are advantages, I think, to being ready to move from agency to agency. I did that so many times you wouldn't believe it. But the other thing is that we also talk about in Project Seagull is that there are six different areas within the executive core qualifications, budget and external and so forth and so on. Can't name them. But you need to be trying to develop a career which gives you experience in all of those six competencies, and then you'll be ready to go into the senior executive service. And if you're not aware of those competencies, which my guess is there are still GS-11s who are not quite, you know, conversant with them, then you can stay in the wrong job in the wrong place for too much time. One of the advantages, again, of Project Seagull is that we get to talk about those competencies because the mentors have exhibited those or else we wouldn't have been in the senior executive service.
Mm-hmm. We just have a couple of minutes left. What else do you want people to know about this beyond we need as many people to help as possible, Bob?
I think the most important thing is how much fun it is. And there are obviously time limitations on senior executives who are still employed, although we got double handfuls of them coming out for this the speed mentoring thing event that Kelly talked about. Mm-hmm. But there are also a number of retired SEA members that have not left for Florida. And those people would also enjoy the time that they got to spend with young people. Mm-hmm. And as I said, getting bright young people actually to listen to you, I mean, that's pretty wonderful from a grandfather's standpoint.
It's a big attraction, it sounds like. Kelly, what else would you like folks to know about your cooperation with SEA?
Just that it's a worthwhile opportunity. I think that overall, I think the program is just the transference of knowledge, sharing information, the art of storytelling, the art of influence. I just think that mentees may come in kind of unsure, kind of unaware, kind of questioning their place in government. And I think through this program, they can get the answers that they're looking for. And we have about 6,000 members in YGL. And although we just have this program in D.C., there is a need for it out in the field. And so I guess ultimately we want to get it out there to those folks, too, where they're able to have a mentor or have a program where they can, again, transfer that knowledge and provide that awareness to their members as well.
Well, I congratulate both organizations and both of you on the success that you're having. And I thank you very much for coming to talk about it with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.